This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And welcome to the People Speak Radio. This is your host, David Swanson. We are very privileged to have with us for the second time on this program, Vincent Bugliosi, author of numerous best-selling books, true crime books, including Helter Skelter, and his newest, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. And you can go to prosecutionofbush.com and check it out and get the book. It's an amazing book, and you need to get one and get one for your friends. Vincent Bugliosi is one of the most outstanding prosecutors. He's a former prosecutor from Los Angeles. He can correct me if I'm wrong, but if I've got the numbers right, he won 105 of 106 prosecutions, next on his agenda, should it become possible, is prosecuting George W. Bush for murder. Vincent Bugliosi, welcome again to the People Speak Radio.
Well, it's always good to be talking to you, David, and I appreciate you inviting me back. The numbers are 105 out of 106 felony jury trials. There's a difference. There are misdemeanor trials too, of course, and I've had 21 murder
felonies.
I've had 21 murder convictions without a loss, but you were very close, very close.
And are the what's your thinking? Were the 105 guilty and the one innocent, or?
Well, that's an interesting question. People have always marveled over that high conviction rate, but I respond like you said, they were all guilty. I was supposed to convict them, and when the conviction rates so often in felony jury trials, those are your most important trials, are down to 75 or 80%. I don't think it's because 20 to 25 or 30% or what have you of the people at the counsel table, the defendants are innocent and the true robber, rapist, or murderer is somewhere else. It's because either the DA or the police did not do a good job of investigation. Classic example, of course, is the Simpson case. There's no question about O.J. Simpson's guilt, and yet the verdict was not guilty. One thing I do, obviously more than the average person, I think everyone knows that, is I do an enormous amount of preparation for my cases. If the Bush thing ends up in trial, I will be putting in thousands upon thousands of hours, David. And it all depends on whether Charlotte Dennett gets elected, of course, in Vermont come November 4th. Do you think your audience knows that entire story, or should I tell them about it?
Well, sadly, I think there are probably listeners who don't know what we're talking about at all, and I know that you've been doing yeoman's work, traveling the country, telling people about it, and you've obviously put in a lot of hours already writing this book, laying out the case,
right.
The prosecution of George W. Bush, but for the benefit of those who are new to the idea, could you give us the basics?
Well, in my book, Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, I present evidence that proves beyond all reasonable doubt that George Bush took this nation to war in Iraq on a lie, under false pretenses, and therefore, under the law, he's guilty of murder for the deaths of over 4,000 American soldiers who have died so far fighting his war in Iraq. I always point out that that's not your war or my war or America's war, but George Bush's war. And we do not want to overlook the over 100,000, and that's a very conservative estimate. Some estimates are as high as 1 million. The over 100,000 innocent Iraqi men, women, children, and babies who have died horrible, violent deaths because of George Bush's war. Bush is obviously guilty of those murders, too. But I was unable to establish jurisdiction here in America to prosecute him for those murders. But I was able to establish jurisdiction here in America for the prosecution of the over 4,000 American soldiers who have died so far in Iraq. In the book, I set forth the legal architecture for the case against Bush, the evidence of his guilt, and I hope David will have time to get into some of that evidence. today and the jurisdiction to prosecute him. I told the House Judiciary Committee when I testified there back in Washington on July 25th that at this stage of my career, I don't have time for fanciful reveries, and I never in a million years would propose a prosecution against Bush for murder if I didn't feel there was more than enough evidence to convict him and that I was standing on very solid legal ground. The Charlotte Dennett thing, she's a viable candidate for Attorney General of the state of Vermont, and she announced at a press conference with me in Burlington, Vermont on September 18th, that based on my book, which she had read thoroughly, if she wins on November 4th, her office will seek a murder indictment against George Bush and appoint me special prosecutor. So what that means now is that if Dennett wins on November 4th, I will be taking this case to a special grand jury in Vermont, and I have every reason to believe that I will get an indictment for murder as well as conspiracy to commit murder against Bush, Cheney, Rice, and maybe several more. So this is no longer theoretical. The book, the whole purpose of the book was to bring about justice, but until someone actually prosecutes Bush is theoretical. But we're not talking about something theoretical here now. We're talking about something very, very tangible. And if this case, if I proceed to take this case to the grand jury, I've already laid out the entire case, David, as you know, in the book. So I'll hit the ground running. And I'm, as I say, very, very confident that the grand jury will return an indictment. I would say we're talking about in the high 90%. Once I get the indictment, and that all depends, of course, on whether Charlotte Dennett wins on November 4th, typically you go from the indictment to the trial. There's a motion to quash by the defense after the indictment. 95% of the time it's turned down. In this case, even though the prosecution of Bush would be identical to the prosecution of anyone else, in that he would be a private citizen. He's got temporary immunity right now. He can't be prosecuted. But once he leaves office, he can be prosecuted like anyone else. But the big difference, and the only difference that I'm aware of, is that I do not think this case will go directly from indictment to trial. I think it'll go from indictment all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the court will take it under submission for a couple months and probably issue the longest opinion in the history of the court as to whether or not this case should proceed to trial. You were at Andover, Massachusetts, were you not, David?
I was there. It was a great conference all about ways to prosecute Bush, Cheney, et al.
Right. Dean Lawrence Valvell was there. He hosted this conference of legal scholars around the country on how to go after George Bush, and I was telling him that I thought the case would reach the Supreme Court, and he felt that it would not, that the Supreme Court would not intervene in Vermont. They wouldn't dare do that, and I told him that, Dean, I respect you very much, which I do. He's got a brilliant legal mind, but I said that it's my belief that it will go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. He feels that there would be such an enormous amount of opposition to it by the American people that they wouldn't dare do it. And I said, Dean, there's no level of impropriety beyond which these people are willing to go. Look what happened in 2000. And he felt that actually what happened in 2000 would be one reason why they wouldn't do it now, because they got so much criticism for what they did back in 2000. But I do think it'll go up to the court, and they do not have the power to stop the indictment. There will be almost automatically an indictment. They do have the power to come up with some cockamamie legal theory to prevent the case from going forward, like the Equal Protection Clause that they came up with, not a good legal justification for stopping the vote in Florida in 2000 and handing the election to George Bush, but they did it anyway. We've already got two votes against us, of course, Scalia and Thomas. They're only interested in frustrating justice. So I kind of went off on a little riff here, but the point I want to make is that they cannot stop the indictment. But they would have the power, if they were to come up with some ridiculous legal theory why this case should not proceed forward. I've anticipated every conceivable legal theory that I can think of in my book and knocked it down, either in the main section of the book or the important endnote section. Where we're at right now, David, and you know Eileen, of course, my publicist. She's a great publicist, so I'm sure she's brought you up to date on this, and she's assisting me in trying to get the pro-impeachment people to change gears and focus their attention now on getting Charlotte Dennett elected on November the 4th, because I think the pro-impeachment people realize now that although Bush should have been impeached, there's no question about that, and I'm 100% in favor of it. In fact, I gave a blurb for Dennis Kucinich's book about a week and a half or two ago. The likelihood of impeachment is very small. I mean, how can you institute impeachment proceedings when you don't even have the head of your party in the House, Nancy Pelosi, in favor of it, and several other very prominent Democrats are against it? It's coming close to the end of his term, the economic crisis. It's just something that's not going to happen. So we're trying to get the pro-impeachment people to get behind the movement to prosecute Bush for murder, and as I say, as I understand it, this movement is underway. It's in its incipient stages. We have less than a month to do it, but they have to do everything possible to get Charlotte Dennett elected Attorney General in Vermont. And, David, I want to tell your listeners what Charlotte's website is. Her website address is Charlotte, spelled in the traditional way, Charlotte, Dennett, capital Dennett, charlottedennettforattorneygeneral.com. She needs all the help that you can possibly give her. You know it costs money to run campaigns, so that would include contributing money, but I would say the first stop or the first step, if you want to help, is to go to her website, charlottedennettforattorneygeneral.com. Vermont, by the way, has the highest per capita loss of soldiers in Iraq of any state in the Union. There's a strong anti-Bush sentiment up there. It's a very fertile state in which to go after Bush. In fact, apparently, David, it's the only state in the Union that Bush hasn't set foot in.
It is, and he's increasingly unlikely to set foot there. Let me tell our listeners, Vince, how they can get in on this conversation, because I suspect we have people listening from Vermont and elsewhere around the country, and people can go to thepeoplespeakradio.net, thepeoplespeakradio.net, and go to the chat room and send me questions to ask you. But people can also call in and ask their questions themselves the way they want them asked, and I think that's for the best. You can call in from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, toll-free, 888-228-4494, 888-228-4494, and anywhere else in the world, toll-free, 877-489-6350, 877-489-6350. We are speaking with Vincent Bugliosi, who is the author of The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. You can go to prosecutionofbush.com. And as Vincent mentioned, we have one possible prosecutor, candidate for Attorney General in Vermont, and you can go to charlottedennettforattorneygeneral.com, charlottedennettforattorneygeneral.com. And if you go to convictbushcheney.com, here's a third website for you, convictbushcheney.com, you can watch a video of the conference we were discussing that took place in Andover, Massachusetts. Charlotte Dennett was there, as well as Vince Bugliosi. And you can also pick up a letter there that you can send to your local, to your district prosecutors, and to your state's attorney general, asking them to prosecute. We don't have to be limited only to Charlotte Dennett. With what, Vince, 50 state attorneys general and some 2,700 district prosecutors.
Yeah, you know all those things. Right. But by the way, let me ask you, I don't have a computer myself. I'm still in the 19th century with a yellow pad and pencil, but the one that covers the Andover thing is called convictgeorgebush.com?
Well, this is a website that I run. It's called convictbushcheney.com, and
okay,
it has all sorts of resources for people.
convictbushcheney.com. ConvictBushChaney.com. Well, I appreciate that because I did not have it.
ConvictBushChaney.com. It promotes your book, Vince, and it gives people a sort of a kit for how they can contact their local state prosecutors and so forth.
I appreciate that very much. Yeah, Bush and Cheney and Rice, et cetera, they can be convicted, I mean, they can be prosecuted of two crimes, conspiracy to commit murder and murder on both a federal and a state level. Federally, David, as I pointed out in Andover, we're really only talking about one prosecutor, the Attorney General in Washington, D.C., operating through his Department of Justice. Now, there are 93 U.S. attorneys around the country, but from a practical standpoint, although they theoretically could prosecute Bush, they're not going to do it without getting the consent of their boss in Washington, D.C. first, whoever that AG is at the time. So we're only talking about one prosecutor on a federal level. But on a state level, I've established jurisdiction, and you had the numbers right, David, for the Attorney General in each of the 50 states, plus the approximately 2,700 district attorneys in counties within those states, to prosecute Bush for the murder of any soldier or soldiers from their state or county who died fighting George Bush's war in Iraq. And hopefully Charlotte Bennett will win, but if she does not, I'm going to continue the effort. It may sound presumptuous on my part, but I can tell you that I'm not going to be satisfied until I see George Bush in an American courtroom being prosecuted for first-degree murder. And if he's convicted, it'll be up to the jury to determine the punishment, one of their options being the imposition of the death penalty. But I do not think it's unreasonable to believe that with all those prosecutors out there, and we're talking about close to 3,000, and with all the evidence of guilt that I present in my book, that there's at least one courageous prosecutor out there who's willing to step forward and say, hey, you know, this is the United States of America, and America, no man is above the law, and I'm going to go after George Bush. And if that happens, I would be available in any way I can. It would be dependent upon the DA or the Attorney General, but in any way I can to help, which would include being a consultant all the way up to being appointed a special prosecutor. Now, Charlotte Bennett has already announced that if she wins, I will be appointed special prosecutor. But in any possible way, we cannot permit this man to get away with murder. And I just have the sense, David, in talking to people around the country, that too many Americans literally have put this behind them. I mean, I've even had radio hosts say, Mr. Bugliosi, all I want is to get Bush off the screen. I don't want to see him anymore. I just want him to go back to his ranch in Crawford, and I say, wait a while, what about this notion called justice? I mean, in America, if someone is convicted of just one murder, or they commit one murder, and they're apprehended and prosecuted and convicted, they're sentenced to life imprisonment, some get the death penalty. Here we're talking about possibly a million murders, and yet we have people who are forgetting about this, and they just want him to go away. There's got to be punishment, and I can tell you, maybe your audience does not believe me, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Every single day goes by, at some point during the day, the thought enters my mind about these victims in their graves, in a metaphorical way, crying out for justice, decomposing, and this guy, George Bush, enjoying himself, smiling, having a lot of fun. I was telling people not too long ago, or reminding them of the phenomenon of the cold case file. You've heard about that, where there's just one victim, for instance, and some lone detective will spend 10, 15, 20, 25 years pursuing the killer. And it's not uncommon here in L.A., and I'm sure this is true around the country, but not uncommon out here at all. I would say it's almost once every 2, 3, 4 months. There's a big article in the paper that some killer is apprehended back east, living under an assumed name, and he's brought back here to L.A. to be prosecuted for some crime he committed 20, 30, 40 years ago. And we're just talking about one victim, and there's this tenacious detective out there, and then once he leaves office or once he retires, sometimes they even continue, but his successors continue. Here we're talking about a minimum of over 100,000 victims, certainly 4,000 young American soldiers, and who out there, I'd like to know who that person is, in authority, is pursuing the perpetrator, that's Bush, to bring him to justice? Who? My wife said to me, well, you. I said, no, I have no authority. I have the authority of an emaciated moth. I'm looking for someone with authority. Well, now I have someone with potential authority, Charlotte Bennett, but I'm looking for someone to go after this guy, and I will help in that effort. But how can we go after just one killer for one victim, and yet we're talking here about over 100,000, and the country seems to be going on to other stuff. Now the whole thing is about the economic crisis. So I'm not forgetting this, and I'm going to pursue it.
Well, a lot of people are not forgetting it either, thank goodness. And, there are talking heads in the media like Lou Dobbs starting to talk up impeachment over the economic crisis. And, and I think it's good that the impeachment movement will stick around because the scenario you laid out earlier, we may end up having to impeach some Supreme Court justices before we get this job done.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people ready to focus on prosecution.
Well, that's great.
And we are getting a lot of questions for you, Vincent Bugliosi, through our chat room that I need to get to my job of asking you. But I want to ask a question of my own first related
right.
to motive. And,
okay.
and I don't mean Bush's motive. I mean our motive in going after prosecution. Because my major motive is deterrence. I don't want the next president or the next one or the next one or the next one thinking they can do these things without any penalty. I want deterrence. And there's another motive when you talk about victims crying out from the grave or when you go to your website which says someone has to pay, right, which is exactly what George W. Bush said after 9/11. And so when you come to the question of, say, the death penalty,
right.
To my mind, the evidence is pretty strong that that does nothing for deterrence, but it encourages this sort of mad quest for revenge. Someone must pay, and the use of violence. And without those so prevalent in our culture, Bush never could have taken us into these crazy wars to begin with. So my question is, what motivates you, and what justifies the talk of the death penalty?
Okay, now you're aware, or maybe you're not, that Vermont does not have the death penalty, but there are 36 states that do. I could tell you that my motive is more noble, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be candid. Certainly, I'm aware of these two supplementary motives, and they're very, very, very important. Then I'll give you the main reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. You mentioned deterrence. That's extremely important. If we want to ensure or help ensure that no future president does the same thing that George Bush does, take a future America to war under false pretenses, that deterrence will increase immeasurably if that future president would know what happened to George Bush, that he ended up in an American courtroom being prosecuted for first-degree murder. And I think about that, and I am concerned about that, and I do write about that in the book. I also am aware, as I think you are, David, that for the first time in American history, the majority of people in the civilized world now have a negative view of America. And it started with the invasion of Iraq, a sovereign nation that we had no right to invade. And if we want America to become the great nation it once was, we can hardly do that if we are unwilling to take the first step of bringing those responsible for the war in Iraq to justice. Those are the noble reasons, and I'm in favor of that, but I can tell you the main reason why I'm doing this is that I do not like to see anyone get away with murder, not even one murder. O.J. Simpson got away with two murders, and I got so angry I wrote a book, Outrage, The Five Reasons Why O.J. Simpson Got Away with Murder, and it shot up to number one on the New York Times hardcover bestseller list. The main reason why I'm doing this, and I'm not ignoring these two supplementary reasons because they are very important and they're very noble, the main reason is I want to bring George Bush to justice. I want him to pay for this. He cannot get by with perhaps over 100,000 murders, and nothing is done to him. The impeachment problem, and believe me, I'm in favor of impeachment, 100% in favor of it. But here's the problem when you're just talking about impeachment. In America, we apparently impeach presidents for having consensual sex outside of marriage and then trying to cover it up. Now, if we do that for that, then what are we supposed to do for a president who takes this nation to war under false pretenses and over 100,000 people are in their graves? Obviously, just pure logic, the punishment has got to be much, much more severe. If he were impeached, convicted, and removed from office, which I was 100% in favor of, no question about that. I mean, it's too self-evident to even talk about. But, David, he'd still be a free man. He'd still be able to wake up in the morning, have his cup of coffee, drink his orange juice, read the morning paper. Or I should amend that. Apparently he doesn't read the paper. Read the headlines, travel widely, lead a life of privilege, belong to the country club, get standing ovations from the party faithful whenever he chooses to speak to them. And does anyone really believe that this man should be permitted to lead that type of life if, in fact, as I strongly believe and I think prove in my book, that he's responsible for 100,000 people dying horrible, violent deaths? I don't think so. So my position has always been that impeachment alone is a joke. Certainly he should be impeached, but if that's all we're going to do to this guy for what he did, it's a joke. It to me, does violence to all conventional notions of justice, that if you in fact are responsible for over 100,000 terrible deaths, and then think about the hundreds of thousands of survivors who are going to have nightmares over what happened to their loved ones, it does violence for someone like that to be able to complain, you know, to the prison guards or what have you, can't you get the bacon right every morning? It's cooked too much. For him to be able to read books, have conjugal visits. My viewpoint is a little different than yours. I certainly respect your view, but I'm much more into retribution. It's a curious thing because you hear people say all the time who do want the death penalty for someone. They'll say, you know, it's not retribution. I don't want to get even. It's just justice. Well, let me tell you, justice is a euphemistic way of saying retribution. You cannot have a non-retributive justice. That's what justice is, getting even. Someone did a terrible thing, and they deserve to be punished for that. So I'm not diminishing your position, but I want to see this fellow punished extremely severely. And I feel that when they're crying out for justice from the graves, it's that he be punished for putting them there.
Well, you make a very strong case, Vince, and I appreciate your honesty and self-awareness in it, although I disagree with it. But I do want to correct the straw man in that you know, I've been working unsuccessfully, admittedly, on impeachment for years now, and I have yet to meet a single individual who only wants impeachment and not prosecution. Every single advocate of impeachment I've ever met, including myself, wants prosecution. It's just that some of us want this president to sit in prison for decades and ideally communicate his great regrets to his successors in that office, as opposed to taking a step that encourages a culture of retribution, which, again, is what let us get into these wars. But we've got other people trying to get in on this conversation besides me. So let's bring Gary from South Carolina in with a question for Vincent Bugliosi. Gary, welcome to the People Speak Radio.
Well, thank you. I think you guys are doing a great job here. I'm glad to get some of this out in the open. You say that you're a prosecutor. You prosecute, according to what we're reading here, you've prosecuted felonies, etc. Don't you think involving yourself? Would you say George Bush is a criminal? I mean, you're saying he's guilty of murder, right?
Right.
So
yeah, that's right.
He's not your common street thug. I mean, this man's got billions, if not trillions, of dollars at his, and he has fanatical people that are willing to come and go as he tells them. Don't you understand the danger of the arena that you would be stepping in trying to prosecute George Bush and his minions?
Well, there's no question about that, and I really do not want to spend time on this issue for reasons that I do not want to talk about, but there's no question there's a certain danger. Well, there's already a danger in my writing the book and urging it around the country, and that danger, of course, would increase if it comes to pass that I'm actually taking George Bush to court. But he cannot be permitted to get by with murder. He cannot be permitted to do so. And I don't know if I have any choice. I'd rather see someone else do it, but because at my age, you know, I should be thinking about retirement. I've been working 7 days a week, sometimes 100 hours a week, year after year after year. But I couldn't look at myself in the mirror if I did not pursue this guy. He cannot be permitted to do what he did and then enjoy himself. I was telling the group at Andover, and I think, David, you know what I'm talking about, that one of the things that is motivating me, in addition, not motivating, one of the reasons that I have so much animus for this guy, apart from the main reason that he's guilty of murder, is that the evidence is absolutely incontrovertible. It cannot be disputed that while young American soldiers, and Gary and David, you know, we're talking about 18, some of them 18, 19-year-old kids who never had a chance to live out their dreams, were being blown to pieces by roadside bombs in Iraq. This guy, George Bush, was having a lot of fun and enjoying life to the very fullest. I'm talking about running and bicycling and joking with friends, slapping backs, eating his blueberry pie and hot dogs. He was on a stage, street stage in Tbilisi, Russia, however you, Tbilisi, Georgia, however you pronounce that, that word, right in the middle of all the hellish conflict. And he gets up on a stage and he starts dancing and swiveling his hips like Elvis to blaring music, almost always seeming to be in the very best of good spirits. Now, I know that the White House press people, they say that Bush takes the loss of American life in Iraq hard and that he suffers, but I can tell you that that is pure moonshine. We know that's not the case. Now and then you may have a tear trickle down his cheek in a particularly emotional moment. And then he walks out the door and he starts joking and laughing and having fun. Suffering on one hand and joking around and having fun on the other are simply incompatible. They cannot coexist. They are mutually exclusive. And I would tell your audience, David, they don't have to rely on what I'm saying or the photos in the book showing him having a ball throughout this war. George Bush himself, unbelievably, has had no hesitancy in saying things like this throughout the war. And when I quote Bush, when I give you some of the things that he has said, and they never could come out of the mouth of someone who is suffering. Impossible. Try to think, as I'm giving you these quotes, just some of them, and I got more in the book, try to think of Roosevelt, Truman, LBJ, Nixon, during their respective wars, saying things like this. And I would also ask you to try to realize that at the very same identical moment that George Bush is saying these words, try to realize the death, the horror, the suffering, the screams, the sea of blood, the decapitations, mutilations of bodies going on as he's uttering these words. Here's George Bush. Laura and I are having the time of our lives. I'm in a great mood. It's going to be a perfect day. I can tell you, Gary and David, that if I ever killed someone, even accidentally, like in a car accident, I would never have another perfect day for as long as I live. And here's George Bush responsible for thousands upon thousands of horrible killings and slaughters, and he says he's going to have a perfect day. In December of 2007, he's at the White House press conference, and he says, "I'm feeling pretty good about life." Feeling pretty good about life? Here's someone who has cost this nation, his war has cost this nation so far, hundreds upon hundreds of billions of dollars. He's literally destroyed the nation of Iraq. And I repeat, because it bears repeating, over 100,000 people are in their cold graves right now as I'm talking to you. And he says he's feeling pretty good about life. It's too unbelievable for words. And I just want to give one little tag to this. Even if George Bush is only guilty of making an innocent mistake and taking this nation to war in Iraq, not murder, as I firmly believe, with all of the death, horror, and suffering he has caused, what type of a monstrous individual is it who could be happy with his life? But at some point, David, I do want to get into some of the evidence against him.
Yeah, let's do that. We're going to have to take a break in just a second, and we've got questions piling up in the chat room. I'd like to see if I can throw a couple at you really quick. But I also just want to point out really quickly that I only know of two really serious studies of the death rate in Iraq resulting from this invasion and occupation, and both of them put the total now a little bit over 1.25 million Iraqis. And so it shake every time I hear 100,000, because 1.25 million people is a very, very different thing from 100,000.
Well, I'm just being very conservative, and in the end note, I talk about that 1.2 million, and
yes,
that goes all the way to, back to 2007. There's another estimate that puts it at 650,000, but at a minimum, it's 100,000. No, I agree with you.
Well, one of the estimates I'm referring to is an update of that one, because the 650,000 is significantly out of date at this point. But let's shifting gears, a couple of hopefully quick questions. Here's one from Chirper in Canada, and I have not heard of this. Maybe you have. Have you heard of the lawyers that wanted to prosecute Bush when he was up here in Canada for his last visit a year or so ago? They wanted to put him in jail right there and then if they could have done so.
Vaguely. If at all. I may not have heard it, but just it rings a very distant bell. I don't know under what theory or what they were thinking about up there in Canada, because, you know, when you get into international law, what you're really talking about is the International Criminal Court at The Hague. They almost exclusively deal with only two crimes, genocide and torture. We're not dealing with genocide here, and the torture is on a limited basis at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. When I say limited, I mean limited for an international criminal court. And also, we know that Bush, in I think it was February of 2002, issued a presidential directive mandating the humane treatment of all detainees. That doesn't mean that's not proof that he wasn't behind the torture, but I understand there's a book out right now that puts the hat on Cheney and exonerates Bush. But the most important point is this. The ICC has no jurisdiction over Bush because the United States was not a signatory nation to the ICC when it was formed in Rome in 2002. So there's no jurisdiction. To my knowledge, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I think the only place that he can be prosecuted would be here in the United States in an American courtroom for first-degree murder. I do want to say this also. For several years now, as you know, David, one revelation after another has come out about the Bush administration's lies and deceptions in taking this nation to war in Iraq. The most recent one in Ron Suskind's book, that the White House ordered the CIA to forge a document linking Hussein to al-Qaeda. Now, while all of these revelations are very good, you have to know that they don't mean anything at all. They mean nothing unless we obviously do something about it. The revelations by themselves don't and can't go anywhere. And that's why when people hear these revelations, they ask, you know, what now? Where do we go from here? And my book, this is not I'm not trying to boast or brag or anything, it's just a fact. My book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, is the what now, where do we go from here book, the only book out of the over 100 attacking Bush that provides a legal blueprint for bringing George Bush to justice. And that's exactly why Charlotte Dennett, after reading the book, said, hey, this can be done, and I'm going to do it. The terrible reality is that Bush and his people have gotten away with thousands upon thousands of murders, and we, America, the American people, cannot let them get by with this.
I couldn't agree more, and I strongly suspect the same from our listeners. I'm not seeing any questions questioning that. I think there's great enthusiasm for it. I want to point out that beginning next year, it may be possible through the International Criminal Court to prosecute wars of aggression, which cannot be done now.
Yes.
And that the International Criminal Court has just recently proposed to prosecute the president of Sudan, which is also not a signatory of the convention. And in fact, regardless of that, some of these crimes of the United States, these renditions of prisoners, have occurred in countries that are signatories to the International Criminal Court. All of that being said, it's still an extremely uphill battle.
You're getting into sophistications of the ICC, so I will take it to a different level. The basic rules that they don't have jurisdiction. In addition to that, the ICC, by its very language in the agreement in 2002, is a court of last resort. The agreement specifically says that they will only take jurisdiction if the subject person from the subject nation, if the subject nation here, the United States, is, quote, unable or unwilling to bring about a prosecution. So it's a court of last resort. There's no question that America may be unwilling to do it, but it's not unable. So we don't qualify there. Now, there is one exception to that ICC thing, because you're so well read, you're compelling me to go into depth that I did not want to go into.
Please do. I appreciate it.
No. Here's the one exception where even if you have the unable and unwilling satisfied, and even though a nation is not a signatory nation, if you can get the Security Council of the United Nations to go along with, they can propose to the ICC the prosecution of any person anywhere in the world in any country. They can do that, and they did that in Darfur. Why I did not mention that with you is I feel it's very, very unrealistic that would happen here, because each of the members of the Security Council, including Britain, have veto power. And I find it very, very hard to believe that Britain, who was complicit to a certain extent, obviously, in going to war, whether they did so under false pretenses the way we know Bush did, I don't know. But I would almost assure you that Britain would veto that, that they're not going to go along with it, because then the next step would be to go after them. I'm sorry?
The United States itself has veto power, correct?
No. Under the Security Council thing, the nation whose suspect the ICC is seeking would not have veto power. So the United States would not have, but Britain would.
I think the one thing that came out overwhelmingly at the conference in Andover, which agrees with what you've just said, is that speakers on panels there from Europe, like Philippe Sands, who's written some great books about this administration, said, look, in England and in Europe, prosecuting Bush and Cheney and these guys for murder and for international crimes is completely mainstream across the political spectrum. It's not some left-wing fantasy. But when you get to these courts, whether it's the international courts or simply a court in a foreign country, such as Spain going after Pinochet, they are going to look first to what sort of efforts have been attempted in the United States. Has anyone tried to prosecute in the United States that they are acting after we have tried? Which would suggest that wherever you come down on the likelihood of this or that unlikely angle for getting these guys locked up, we almost have to start here, even if we think we're going to end up over there.
Yes. Right. The fellow you're talking about, Philip Sands, he's a historian, I guess, at University College in London, and he is someone that if this case goes to trial, I will be talking to. He's the one that came up with the Manning memo, and that's part of the evidence against Bush. But we can get into that when we talk about the evidence. I think the hour is starting to get...
I've gotten permission to skip taking a break, if that's okay with you. I think our listeners are enjoying the information. You mentioned it's way off topic, but you mentioned it earlier, O.J. Simpson, and we have a question from another listener in Canada named Paul, who asks, speaking of those that are guilty and should not be allowed to escape, what do you think of O.J. Simpson, and what could you have done prosecuting him? Now, the answer may be go buy my book.
Well, no, but I can tell you this. Day after day when I'm out there, including this morning from a black at a meeting out in Chatsworth on the documentary that's going to be done, that's being done right now in my book, I hear it over and over and over again. Again, it sounds like boasting, but I'm just telling you, wherever I go, I'm not saying everyone says this, but I hear it over and over and over again, as recently as a couple hours ago in Chatsworth. If you had been the prosecutor, Simpson would have been convicted. He wouldn't have been playing golf the last couple of years. But we can't get into the Simpson case. I did write a book on it, Outrage. I'm not trying to sell the book or anything, but we can't get into all the reasons why he got off, because I do think we want to talk about Bush now.
Yeah, I agree. Simpson was recently convicted on some minor charge.
But he got away with two murders, and the consensus had always been that it was only the fault of the jury. That was the wide consensus. Newsweek said that the conventional wisdom that the case was lost when the predominantly black jury was seated at the time of jury selection. Then I came out with Outrage, and I pointed out with example after example the staggering, almost unprecedented incompetence of the prosecution. And, you know, I was pro-prosecution all the way, but either you write the book and be candid or you don't write the book at all. And the consensus now, Outrage literally changed the thinking of people who are into this case completely around, that although the jury was bad, major, big-time bad jury, the prosecution was even worse. And if there had been an A-plus performance by the prosecution, at an absolute minimum, it would have been a hung jury. And I think the jury would have convicted him with an A-plus performance. I mean, even with a D-minus performance by the prosecution, and it doesn't get any worse. The first vote back in the jury room, a black and a white voted for guilty. Now, if you can get a 10-2 on the first ballot with a D-minus performance, you can imagine by extrapolation what would have happened if the performance had been an A-plus. But we're getting off on a tangent, and I think all of our efforts and thoughts have to be right now is how to bring this guy, George Bush, to justice.
Well, I have a question in that regard, and this is something that came up at the conference in Andover, which is as a distant second choice, are you open to the idea of prosecuting for attempted murder in addition to murder? That is, when you prosecute for murder, you're likely to be working with Gold Star families, with a family who's lost someone in Iraq. And we may find a prosecutor in a district or a state who's got the nerve and the decency and the skill to stand up and do this thing, but doesn't have the Gold Star family there or there and willing, but does have veterans of this invasion and occupation who could prosecute for attempted murder. Does it make any sense legally, and is it something you want to do?
Well, I wouldn't be a part of that. You know, I'm in favor of anything to punish George Bush, but no, it would be a joke. He puts 100,000 people in their graves, or perhaps a million, and we're going after him for attempted murder. It would be a joke, and I would not personally want to be a part of that joke. No, absolutely not.
Well, let me ask a different question. Bush and Maliki, as I'm sure you know, are trying to, outside of the Iraqi parliament and our Congress, God knows, are trying to negotiate a treaty under some other name and not call it a treaty to allow the occupation to continue beyond this December 31st when the UN authorization runs out. And the big sticking point is whether Iraqi courts will be able to prosecute U.S. servicemen and women and mercenaries and contractors, or whether they will continue to exist outside the rule of any law, our law, military law, Iraqi law. And so there is this possibility that on January 1st, it will become at least technically and theoretically possible for Iraqi courts to prosecute.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If a murder is committed in Iraq, it's within the territorial jurisdiction of the Iraqi courts, of course. No,
well, it should be, but it isn't now.
Yeah. You say it isn't now. I don't know what's happening. There's almost anarchy over there right now. But I would say that at least on paper, even under Hussein, if someone committed a murder over in Iraq, they could be prosecuted for it.
They were often summarily executed. But this occupation, our mercenaries over there, these thugs from Blackwater, are outside any law. They're outside military law, and they're outside Iraqi law. They are simply in a lawless zone. And this is, I mean, there was a press conference where a college student asked the president about this, and he said, "I haven't got a clue. I'll have to ask Rumsfeld and get back to you." I mean, he does have a clue. He knows that this is the situation, and he's negotiating with Maliki to try to keep that the situation. Starting January 1st, should they fail to negotiate a deal. Is that sort of prosecution of crimes in Iraqi courts something you would be open to trying to assist with?
Well, yeah, but I would not be involved in that, and I have not studied it. One of my strengths, David, if I have any strengths, is that I know my limitations, and you're asking me something that I've not studied at all, so, you know, I just don't have any view on what could happen come January 20th. But I do know that as a matter of simple common sense and the historicity of our justice systems around the world, if you commit a crime in a particular area, that area has the authority to prosecute. So you're saying that they've been removed, they've been given some type of immunity. I do not know that. I've heard that they're committing crimes over there and getting by with it. Whether that's authorized under Iraqi law, I don't know. So I'd rather not get into that area because I don't know anything about it. I don't know what's going on over there.
I know
what's going on with George Bush. He's gotten away with murder, and I'm not going to be content or satisfied until he gets punished for what he did.
Now, have you heard from anyone other than Charlotte Dennett, who is either a prosecutor or a candidate to become
I got and I don't want to mention the state, a very favorable letter from an eastern state, the attorney general. And it turns out it was one of these strange states where they do not have jurisdiction to bring prosecutions for criminal matters. There's an analogous agency in that state that handles criminal matters. This particular state, the attorney general only handles civil matters, not criminal. And I will be getting in touch at some point if Charlotte loses with the agency in that state that has jurisdiction over criminal cases.
Would that attorney general facilitate a meeting between you and the appropriate?
Oh yeah, right. But it's not going to be necessary if Charlotte Dennett wins on November the 4th. So that's why we have to mobilize all of our efforts. The 2,700 prosecutors that I mentioned, I just got a list about 2 weeks ago. I had heard that there were only about 950. Elected or appointed prosecutors around the country, and I got the list from the National Association of District Attorneys, and I have it here, and it's 2,700 of them. I have not yet figured out a way to reach all 2,700, but I have a very strong supporter up in Seattle. His name is Bob Alexander. He is unbelievable, and I found out he sells gourmet coffee on the Internet, and what he was doing, he was telling people, instead of buying my coffee, buy Bugliosi's book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. When I heard about that, I wrote to him and I said, "Sir, I really am honored that you're doing what you're doing, but I said, I feel guilty that you're losing all this money." And he absolutely was losing money. I mean, there were emails from people saying, "I'm doing exactly what you're telling us to do." Alexander, and I said, "Why don't you just recommend that they buy the book, but not that they buy the book in lieu of buying your coffee?" And he's doing that now. What Alexander's doing right now, he's got a website out there. I should know the name of it, but I don't.
I'll tell you. It's prosecutegeorgebush.com.
Okay.
Alexander,
on this website, I spoke to him about a week and a half ago. He's already raised over $10,000 to buy the book and to send it to these prosecutors. He wants to send a copy of the book to all 2,700 prosecutors around the country. This may all become moot if Charlotte Dennett wins on November the 4th. But so we're getting off into things that aren't quite as applicable. Today's the 7th, and is the election on the 4th?
Today is the 8th, and we're looking
at November
the 8th. 4th. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so there's very little time, and I really urge your audience, let's underline the word if, they want Bush to be punished, they've got to contribute in by money or some other way. And the reason I say if is that, when you're involved in something like this as long as I've been in, and it's been since late May, you start to pick up things because you don't say, well, this is just isolated. And I'm getting the very, very clear, distinct impression. And I'm talking about liberal Democrats right now. I'm getting the very distinct impression that among many of them, certainly not all, certainly not you, David, the people calling in, but many of them are satisfied just calling George Bush nasty names, and they think that's sufficient punishment for what he's done. Just call him terrible names. And maybe even write articles about him, what a horrible human being he is. He couldn't care less about those words. They're meaningless. And up until now, other than words, no one has done anything at all to George Bush. Clinton, I mean, what Clinton did is 100,000 times less significant than what George Bush did, had consensual sex outside of marriage, tried to cover it up. And yet, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, Clinton was savaged by the mainstream media, including the so-called liberal New York Times, Washington Post, the monstrous, grotesque, obscene Ken Starr, did everything within his power to destroy the Clinton presidency. And to make things a heck of a lot worse, who funded Ken Starr's seven-year, $70 million effort to destroy Bill Clinton? The United States government funded that entire effort. Clinton was impeached, almost driven from office. The right wing wanted to hang him in the town square at noontime. All over nothing. Sublime silliness. And yet Bush takes this nation to war under false pretenses on a lie, well over 100,000 people in their graves, and up to this point, nothing has been done to him, nothing at all, no impeachment, not even an investigation of him by Congress or the Department of Justice, nothing. And this is what gets me so extremely angry. But if Charlotte Dennett wins on November 4th, things are going to change very, very quickly, and I'll probably be living in a motel room in Vermont for the next 2-3 years.
Well, and I hope the rest of us will move up there and help you. I know a lot of people who will like to, but you're absolutely right, and we should be angry. And there are people who have pushed for impeachment, including Congressman John Conyers, who have pushed for impeachment purely for electoral reasons, because they thought talking about it would help Democrats. And there are people doing that to this day. But my hope, Vince, is that on November 5th, regardless of who wins or whether the election is up in the air and fraudulent and lawsuits flying, people will begin to shift away from this focus on the damn elections. And so I would recommend, we are out of time, but I would recommend that everybody buy as many copies of this book as possible and give them to your Democratic friends on November 5th. When they have clear heads and are able to think straight. The book is The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. You can get it at prosecutionofbush.com. You can go to prosecutegeorgebush.com and contribute to sending it to prosecutors. And above all, you can go to charlottedennett4attorneygeneral.com and give her as many dimes and pennies and nickels, up to $1,000, that you can give her. This is, as you've heard on this program, our hope in restoring the rule of law to this country and the world is to get Charlotte Dennett elected. Charlotte Dennett for AttorneyGeneral.com. And Vince, I've been around town today putting up flyers because Vincent Bugliosi is coming to speak in my town.
Thank you so much, Dave.
In a week and a half, and let me tell people who happen to be on the East Coast or who can get here, Richmond, Virginia, October 13th, Norfolk, Virginia, October 14th, Charlottesville, Virginia, where I live, October 16th, and Washington, D.C., October 17th, and you can get the details on those events at my website, afterdowningstreet.org, or convictbushcheney.org, and many other websites. And it has been a great pleasure, and we appreciate everything you're continuing to tirelessly do for this country, Vincent Bugliosi.
David, thank you so much for having me on the show, and it means so much to me to have your strong support, so I can't thank you enough.
Well, we owe you a great deal of gratitude. Everybody buy the book. This is The People Speak Radio, thepeoplespeakradio.net. On Monday, the guest on the program will be Jerry Smith, the author of Weather Warfare. And on Wednesday, my guest will be an outstanding musician and activist with a one-word name, Nadir. We will talk with you then.
Mm-hmm. One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea wall by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.